Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. This is a very special broadcast. It is my consummate privilege to be sharing this program today with Pastor Tim Dailina, who is the senior pastor of Times Square Church in Manhattan. It is a notable church for any number of reasons, not least of which, that if you enter the premises, you could cut the love of Christ with a butter knife. Pastor Tim, welcome to our broadcast.
Brad, it's a joy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, I am obliged. We are honored. And, you know, I pastor a small church. I've always felt more comfortable and more appropriately placed in the smaller setting. But if I were not pastoring this lovely little fellowship of mine in Conshohocken, right outside of Philadelphia, I would be taking the 1 hour and 45 minute trek up to Times Square every week. It's such a special place. You know that better than I. What I would like for you to do, Pastor Tim, in this first segment is to share with our audience your story. How you came to faith, how you were raised up and called into Christian ministry.
Well, Brad, it's really an amazing story of really just God's providence and His grace. So many who know the story of Times Square Church, the founder, David Wilkerson, when he came to New York City and began to work with the gangs, Nikki Cruz and the beginning of Teen Challenge, David, it was seen in the movie, was preaching on the streets of Brooklyn. And just when he was about to be removed from the streets because of the gang activity, the NYPD was about to remove him. And then when the beat cop was asking him to stop preaching, a cop that outranked him came, a captain, in fact. And a captain said, "What's going on here?" And he said, "Well, this man wants to preach." And so that captain at that time said, "Let the man preach." And many people don't realize that was my father. And it was my dad that began at that moment to connect with David Wilkerson, who would have known that Carter Conlon, who I succeeded, said it best. He said, "Tim, when your dad said, 'Let the man preach,' he wasn't just saying it for David Wilkerson. He was also saying it for his unborn son, who would be preaching in that pulpit, when you think about it, 75 years later." And it was just a miracle. So in between that, Brad, we moved to Texas after born and raised in New York. We moved to Texas really because David Wilkerson said, "Paul, when you retire, come live close to us." Went to Baylor University, and while I was on spring break, David Wilkerson said, "Would you go to Detroit and help my son plant a church in Detroit for a 2-month missions trip?" Well, I was raised in the church, and so a missions trip was just part of our DNA. I was born right across the street. The church that I was born in was right across the street from Madison Square Garden, called Glad Tidings Tabernacle. And then we ended up on a church in Long Island. So while I went on this missions trip at 19 years old, Brad, Gary Wilkerson, David's son, said, "Would you, Tim, at 19, go do a Bible study in a prostitution hotel in Detroit?" Little did I know that this 19-year-old kid would go every Thursday night and minister to pips and prostitutes, this church kid. And little did I know, Brad, that that would begin to become the calling that would begin to come upon my life. And by ministering, that in a sense was my seminary. That was my Bible school. That's where I learned to preach every Thursday night. And it was at that moment, during that time, I was reading through Acts 7 today, when at 40 years old, it said it entered into Moses' heart as Stephen was preaching that he had an affection for the Jewish people, not knowing he was Jewish, and that he would become their deliverer. And I have to say, something entered into my heart in that prostitution hotel that my trajectory of life is about to change. I was going to follow in the footsteps of my Italian family, which are all Italian policemen and firemen in New York City, and I was going to follow in those footsteps. And at that moment, from a prostitution hotel, it changed that I was to go into ministry. And to make a long story short, It was what I thought would be 2 months, Brad, ended up being 30 years of my life in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was there that we that the call to ministry came.
It's interesting you speak of a hotel for pimps and prostitutes. I know a gentleman, I don't know him personally, but he's had affiliation with Times Square Church, Brother Yun, the heavenly man. And
yes.
And you have spoken of that hotel as your seminary experience. Brother Yun would speak of the seminary training for his Chinese comrades, how to jump over fences to avoid security apparatus, that kind of thing. This is extraordinary because having gone through a formal seminary, I was very fortunate to attend Gordon Conwell Theological north of Boston, a marvelous institution. But I actually learned as much in a different way when I worked at Logan Airport in Boston for the cause of Christ as I did at seminary. For you, it was a prostitution hotel. That's remarkable. But you've also had experience not simply in Detroit, but do I understand you've served in Louisiana and, of course, across the bridge in Brooklyn?
Well, what happened was after serving, so when I stayed in Detroit, Brad, we ended up buying God opened up a door. We bought a 900-seat XXX movie theater turned it into a church. They ran the movies till the day we bought it. And when we came in and started renovating it, men used to come by and thought we were renovating it to reshow the movies. And they'd say, when do the movies start? We would tell them, Sundays 10 and 6. And that's what we would begin to encourage them. And men that used to be in bondage would show up and look at the same screen that they used to see porn on and now see Bible verses and hymns on that very same screen.
It's a joy to hear, if I may put it this way, by way of a quip, you were exposing flesh, but in a different way, you know? You know, I remember your predecessor, Cather Conlon. I was there one Sunday. He was sharing the story of an individual who came into a special Friday night gathering. By his estimate, this beautiful blonde woman came in, and at the altar call, she came down to the altar, and she was crying her eyes out, and she ripped off her wig, and it was a man. And that man gave his life to Christ that night. You know, with the left, I mean, all of the great educational institutions began, many of them, by way of the Christian enterprise, many of the hospitals. But the left has taken over so many of them. Praise God that the church and the gospel are taking over the XXX theaters now, you know?
Amen.
It's called payback.
Well, and who would have known that when, after being there for 28 years, that I had a phone call from Jim Cimbala from Brooklyn Tabernacle and said, would you come and help us? And went and served under Jim and Carol Cimbala. What a joy it was to be with them for 5 years. And then 5 years down in Louisiana, it was just an amazing work down there that we saw God doing in those communities. And then out of nowhere, I get a phone call from Cather Conlon, and when we met 10 years earlier in 2010, so you have to keep this in mind, the journey in New York really started in 2010. Cather Conlon and I were sitting in a restaurant and said to me, and he stopped eating and said to me, I feel like I have a word from the Lord for you that I need to share with you. He said, it's two parts, but I can't tell you part two. He has never done this before. So he says to me that the next 5 years of your life are going to be, it's going to be the hardest ministry years that you've ever experienced. I didn't think much of it because he's never done this before. And they were, but he said, but don't be discouraged. They're going to be deepening you. That you're going to need those years. He said, but I can't tell you part two. And I had no idea what it meant. And when we talked again, even though we talked in between for all, you know, many, many times, he called me 10 years later and said, I need to give you part two. And I'm thinking, well, if part two is like part one, I'm going to hang up on you immediately. And he goes, what the Lord showed me was, he said, the next 5 years are going to be difficult years for him, but I'll deepen him. And that man, I need to do that because he's your replacement. And this is in 2010. So he said he went back, told his wife and two elders to test the word that he heard from the Lord. And it didn't seem like it could come to pass. And he calls me in 2020 or 29, end of 2019, and said, that's the second part. I'm done. It's time for you to come back to New York and take over the church.
Which is a comparable story to that of David Wilkerson and Carter Conlon with a major assist by Leonard Ravenhill, who passed on the cassettes of Carter Conlon's preaching. Extraordinary. And what blesses me so much, Pastor Tim, you and Carter Conlon speaking of hearing the voice of God or receiving word from him, I have similar experience. And as you know, not everyone within the broad realm of Christendom can embrace this. But when we know, Jesus did say, my sheep know my voice, and this is a direct application of this. That being said, we must take a break. This is Brad Lacey and Pastor Tim Dailina, the senior pastor of Times Square Church in Manhattan. We will return on the other end of the commercial divide. Thank you. Brad Lacey returning with Pastor Tim Dailina, a senior pastor of Times Square Church in Manhattan, returning with another round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Pastor Dailina, I want to share, as I ask you to share more about your church now and its extraordinary presence in Manhattan and more broadly globally, but I must introduce this segment with a personal anecdote. My lovely wife, who has gone to be with the Lord, she died 2 years ago of pancreatic cancer. She is with Jesus now. But back in 2016, she had a brief bout and run with colon cancer. And I remember coming back from the hospital, my heart, she had had successful surgery, the grace of God, recovered quickly. But I returned from hospital one night, very heavy of heart. I brought a pasta dish with me from a local eatery. I sat on my back porch, and I'm telling you the gospel truth. The Spirit of God said to me, and I quote, Google Carter Conlon. Well, Pastor Tim, I didn't even really know who he was. I had come across his name maybe 5 or 6 months prior, but I didn't have any inkling of who he was. So it was a rather out of the ordinary request, but it was the voice of my God. So I Googled him and found a collection of sermons, and I decided to listen to one as I sat with my pasta dish and gravely concerned over my wife's health. I sat there riveted by his message. It was not the first time that it was as if the Spirit of God pushed me up against the wall, grabbed me by the lapels, put his finger in my face and said, you listen, this is for you. That sermon became the initial unfolding. I began to listen to your predecessor routinely. I would get up to Times Square as often as I can. Carter Conlon's preaching, his character, and his entire deportment began to work and weave itself into my life. It was transformative. I was at a very critical place in my own ministry. We had gone through a great season of grief. Was my wife's health. I'm a cardiac patient. Lots of grief attacking us at every end. And God brings Carter Conlon my way. And how he used Carter Conlon to bring transformation to myself and my ministry, it is extraordinary. And of course, that's what you and Times Square Church are doing in and throughout New York and more broadly the world. Tell us about Times Square Church.
You know, it was when I first got here, I don't recommend anybody to do it the way I did. When I first got here, it was 2 weeks into the entire world being shut down.
Yes.
I came May 5th when the world was shut down. And you have to think about this, Brad. We didn't open up those doors for 18 months the moment I got here. So I came, it was a global pandemic. In the middle of the global pandemic, there was civil unrest in our nation. After that, there was a volatile election. After that, there was the January 6th situation that took place. After that, the Ukrainian war. After that, you have the war in the Middle East. I go, God, can I just get a break? Just give me breathing room here. And but here's what I knew, what I felt the Lord spoke to me when I got here 2 weeks into it. The streets were empty. It was a miracle that I could get on a plane with six of us on a jet, get in here to an empty airport, empty streets in New York, and the strictest state in the union allowed me to enter the office because I was considered a critical worker, so I could come in. So there would be four of us here looking out my window, this window here, and there would be zero people. But here's what I felt very strongly. While many of the churches were trying to open up their front doors, I really felt the Holy Spirit say, you open up every door around the world. And we began to take the next 18 months, Brad, and begin to update, change, and reconfigure the technology. And it wasn't, we weren't doing online only because it was an alternative. We were doing it because we wanted to reach the globe. And so we said, let's get in around the globe. And every, when David Wilkerson and Carter Conlon were here, in our church, there'd be 120 different nationalities represented, but that was in the building. I asked people the question many times. I said, so the reason why online matters so much is because it widens your voice. It will take your voice even further, the gospel further and faster. And so instead of asking people to come through the front door, we would enter into doors all over the world. And so we would see on a Sunday. So for example, there are churches bigger than us. There are buildings bigger than us, all those things. But one of the things that God has given to us from the legacy of David Wilkerson to the prayer ministry of Carter Conlon, what God has given to us that we need to steward so carefully, He's given us a real-time voice to the nations. So when the week is done, it has gone into 133 nations. I'm just looking at this week's numbers and 48 states that it's gone all over the world. And so that's why I was told by Carter Conlon, he said, Tim, I'm going to tell you what David Wilkerson told me. And what he told me was this: when the world gets dark, Times Square has always been a lighthouse, and people will always listen to that lighthouse while things are getting darker and darker. Make sure that that pulpit is always reserved for a word from the Lord, to the nations. And that's why Times Square Church has been not only in Times Square, where the nations gather together, but it's able as a lighthouse to go around the world and to the nations, Brad.
Yes. And you do something at Times Square Church that I value immeasurably. I'm assuming it carries on. You have a program, if for lack of a better word, called Feed New York. And you connect with smaller churches throughout the five boroughs. As I recall, your one qualification is, or criterion is, that there be a prayer meeting in that small church. As a small church pastor, and I wouldn't trade my lovely little fellowship for another's mega church, but I will say this, it's very rare that larger and smaller churches have any meaningful connection. You show honor and respect to those smaller churches. And I'm telling you, as a small church pastor, that encourages us to no end. And of course, you're feeding literally thousands of people. I praise God for that.
Well, it's our joy. It was in the heart of Carter Conlon, who I want to just stop and say this, Brad. I'm so thankful for the impact that Carter has had on your life one of your most difficult moments. One of the things that I've witnessed for many years is the horrible, really implosions of handing batons in succession in the churches. It's something that has been so horribly managed. It's because it's difficult. The most difficult part of a relay race is when both hands are on the baton, because that's when they're dropped. It's not the running of one. And so there is, one has to let go and one has to grab hold of. And if one doesn't hold and one doesn't let go, the baton is dropped and the race is lost. And one of the things that Carter Conlon has been, I don't know if I could have done and led through the difficulties that I've done if I didn't have Carter Conlon's voice, Carter Conlon helping in that pulpit, where sometimes the succession takes place. It's the young man that thinks now it's time for me to do my thing and doesn't want the older man there. I told Carter Conlon this. I said, you have one job for me, one job. That's to stay alive. I can't do this without you. And it's been such a joy to walk with this. And we both dreamed of the day that maybe when my time is done, that maybe both of us would be alive, that we can, if Christ doesn't come, that we can help the next young man together for this. But it's been such a blessing to see what God has done.
Well, as you say in the dedication to your fine volume, What Does God Have to Say? A Biblical Worldview from A to Z. In that dedication, you say to Carter Conlon, to whom you've dedicated the book, let us finish well together. I love that. Brad Lacy and Pastor Tim Dailina, Senior Pastor of Times Square Church, Manhattan, will return for another round of The Great Message in just a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacy and Pastor Tim Dailina, Senior Pastor of Times Square Church in Manhattan, returning with another round of The Great Message, Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. Master Tim, another anecdote from my own existence and experience, and then an observation concerning your pastoral staff. My beautiful daughter, when my wife and I married, we married a bit later in life. I felt it was an equitable arrangement. She gave me 3 fully grown stepdaughters. I gave her 4 fully grown cats. Very equitable by my estimate. My youngest stepdaughter has become my daughter. It's a beautiful relationship that we share. She continues with her daughter to live with me. She loves Times Square Church, but she's always had questions about God that get in the way, and they tend to hound her. And she'll be listening to this broadcast. She knows I'm speaking lovingly. The first Sunday we went up to Times Square and heard you preach, Pastor Tim, I want to thank you from the depths of my heart. That was about 1.5 years ago. 1.5 years later, every day, she's a very good, faithful, diligent worker. But they allow the workers to listen to things, you know. Every day, all day, my daughter is listening to your sermons.
Wow.
Every day for 1.5 years. You are proving to be to her and for her how God used Carter Conlon on behalf of me. I want to thank you.
Thank God. Oh. Thank God, Brad.
Oh, I can't. In fact, when I was last up there for the James Brown Day, I bought her a copy of your book, and she just was ecstatic. But now a personal observation of your staff. We were there one time. My wife was with us. And it was before service, and people are praying at the altar, if you will, you know, the front of the theatrical platform. And Carter Conlon was praying. He was doing a prayer walk around the platform. And Pastor Pierre came on board the platform as well. And the next thing I saw, they began to quietly speak to one another. And Pastor Tim, the love and the respect that they bore for one another, it was so palpable as I witnessed this. And then there was a gentleman named Peter, he's a member of your congregation, a Brit, speaks with a distinctly British accent. We were talking one day, and I said, you know, you can cut the love of Christ with a butter knife in this church. And he took me more specifically, and it was fine. He says, yes, and I quote now, the pastors here do love us. I've been in other churches where I haven't felt the same. And it's evident that you love your people.
It's so true. This is a place that all around us, being in New York City, the greatest city in the world, I know you would argue with that.
We won't go there.
People have commented and said this to us many times, Brad. When you walk into a church, there are no warm-up songs. Let's get the people going. No. People dive into the presence of God because Yes. We're desperate here. We're in the middle of war, and this is our barracks. Times Square Church is barracks. We come out from the war, whether you're working on Wall Street or working in Brooklyn or wherever you are, and you come into that place. We are so desperate for the presence of God because of what's outside our doors. It is a fight constantly, but God always meets our needs, always meets it. What we've seen is this, Brad. We have seen that the battles are intense because the victories are really so large and immense. So everything we do is fought against. So when you walk into that place, whether it's during a prayer and fasting time, a Tuesday night service, or pre-service prayer in there, it is people fighting to breathe. Carter Conlon said this to me one time. He said, the battle got so intense at one time. He said, I always remember this line. He said, I sighed more than I breathed.
Yes.
And I said, now I get it. You sighed more than you breathed.
Well, I would imagine in your role, it is on the one hand exhilarating, but just taking my cue from what you've just shared, it has to be utterly humbling as well.
It is, because I know that I'm here because of the sacrifice, the faith, the prayer of men like David Wilkerson and Carter Conlon. I had a young man ask me one time, Brad, he said, I was just a young preacher in Detroit, and I was speaking at Times Square. And I remember that young man looking all around, seeing the building, the surroundings, and said, I want a church like this one day. And then I looked at him and I said this. I said, are you ready for your wife to go through 18 cancer operations? Are you ready for both daughters to be diagnosed with cancer and lose your 11-year-old granddaughter to brain cancer? I said, people don't understand the battles that men have fought. And I have to constantly remind myself the battles that were fought even before I got there, that this is Times Square Church is now 35 years old, and I've been here. It'll be 5 years in a few months. So for 30 years, Brad, for 30 years, I am honored and I'm humbled, like you said, because Carter Conlon and David Wilkerson fought battles that I don't have to fight. And I'm so thankful for it.
And I praise God. And I would also add, and again, coming to the table as a small church pastor, and I mean a small church pastor, we're very little, my lovely little fellowship, and I wouldn't trade them for the world. We have vitality. God's hand is upon us. But I would say this, a lot of guys starting out want to build up a church. But churches like Times Square and Brooklyn Tabernacle, these are works of the Holy Spirit. You know, and from Psalm 115, we read that God blesses the great and the small. And for some reason, according to his economy, he has kept us small. For reasons germane to his glory, he has made Times Square great. But greatness is not always pure glory. There's a lot of, what was the line from Shakespeare? I'm going to give a kind of a cockneyed paraphrase. It ain't all gravy, you know. But how you at the helm now, as you carry on, I mean, what I love about your church, and it emanates from the leadership, doesn't it? You maintain the love of Christ. I mean, there's beautiful, meaningful worship, always a very forthright, powerful word. And again, you can cut the love of Christ with the butter knife. And you know what else you do, Pastor Tim? And I wonder if there was something intentional in this many years ago. Evangelicals are not known for being masters of aesthetics. We build these structures now that look more like movie theaters, you know. Our Catholic brethren maintain the aesthetical decorum. But I enter your church, and it must have been by design. You have this magnificent aesthetical temple. It is beautiful. I mean, truly beautiful by the highest standards. And I know you've studied at Oxford, so the word aesthetics doesn't bite you. I love the building as well.
Right. Well, you quoted Shakespeare, so let me quote A League of Their Own, the great sports movie.
Right, right. Yeah.
When Tom Hanks is speaking to one of the players that quit, she said to him on the Women's Baseball League, "Well, it's just too hard now." And he said, "Well, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it."
Right. That's right.
And that's really what it is. It's if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But it is hard. But I'm grateful because, you know, once again on the battlefield, when David Wilkerson was here and God spoke to him, he said, "If you pray and believe for God to raise up a voice in New York City," this is what David said. He said, I'll give you a theater in Times Square that will take your breath away." That's what he felt. He said when he walked in to Times Square Church, David Wilkerson said in 1989, he said he gasped. It took his breath away. And it is now, it's very interesting. I'll give you two interesting facts. It is a theater that is 100 years old. I love telling people where it is. It's considered one of the largest Broadway theaters. And when people ask how to get there, it's wonderful. I tell them, you go to Wicked and turn right.
Yes.
We're right across the street from Wicked. But here's what's amazing is just a few months ago, one of the iconic Broadway plays shut down, which was Phantom of the Opera. After 33 years, Phantom has shut down. But one of the great news is this, Brad, is that now Times Square Church is the longest running show on Broadway.
Oh, is that right?
God wins. God wins.
That is a beautiful story. I praise God to hear it. I truly do. You know, I'm thinking, you mentioned the XXX Theater out in Detroit. If I'm not mistaken, over at the Brooklyn Tabernacle, I think back in the 40s when they were doing vaudeville, I think the Three Stooges made an appearance over there on one occasion.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And here's what's incredible. I did not know this. It was Jim Cimbala, I believe, who told me this. He said, the one who built the Brooklyn Tabernacle, who built that great auditorium, was a man named Niederlander, whose name is iconic on Broadway. He's known as from just one who's building. There is a Broadway theater that has been named after him. But Niederlander, this philanthropist, built two buildings in New York City, and he built Brooklyn Tabernacle where they're meeting. And the second building he built was the Mark Hellinger. That he had no idea that the two buildings he would build would be the two churches.
I think you'll agree with me. Only God could have orchestrated that.
Only God could have done that.
Praise God. Brad Lacy and Pastor Tim Dailena, Senior Pastor of Times Square Church in Manhattan. We return for a final round in just a moment. Brad Lacy and Pastor Tim Dailena, Senior Pastor of Times Square Church in Manhattan, returning for one final round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT. Just a brief moment of business, if you will. I encourage and direct you to voicesofphiladelphia.org. Again, voicesofphiladelphia.org. We are recording the entire Bible using known Philadelphian voices. And just recently, we had the privilege of uploading onto the site a very lovely and well-known classical musical announcer here in Philadelphia. She did a beautiful reading of the Gospel of Luke. I encourage you to take a listen and be edified. Again, voicesofphiladelphia.org. Pastor Tim, this has been a joy to have you. We have about 8 minutes, and I want to make them count. A couple of odds and ends, if you will. I don't say miscellaneous. I'm very anal with language. Miscellany is the noun. So some miscellany here. I have the blessing of being very close friends with the one of the most potent and influential Roman Catholic priests in the city of Philadelphia. He is the head priest at the Cathedral Basilica, right on the Ben Franklin Parkway. It's a glorious piece of architecture, Father Dennis Gill. He is one of the most godly and Christ-like of men I know. Now, obviously, where there are dogmatic differences, we are evangelical believers, and Father Gill and his Catholic brethren are Catholic. But I see Christ in this man. I enter that cathedral. I encounter very palpably the love of Christ. I'm curious, as a Pentecostal leader globally, do you have relations within New York City with some of our Catholic brethren? And how does that fare?
I wish I did. I don't. It's only because getting here during the pandemic, you know, there was so much that even happened, from even dealing with the death of the great Presbyterian speaker, Tim Keller.
Yes, of course.
Because I know it is the Archbishop Dolan is here in New York City, just a fine man. Yeah. And yes, one of our guest speakers, Dr. R.T. Kendall, has had great relationship with Archbishop Dolan. So I haven't, but I know that there are God has a witness all over the city. That by no means, Times Square happens to be right in the center of the city, but I'm so thankful, especially in these times, that there are outposts all over the city where God is moving.
Well, I want you to know I have a dream. I can't say that it's a divine vision, but I just have this personal desire one day to get Father Gill and have him join me to a worship service at Times Square Church, truly. On the other side of the equation, I know that right in the just a block removed from you, maybe half a block, and I don't mean this in any derisive way at all, but there is a more fundamentalist group that has a presence on the street, and their tone and temper is different from that of Times Square Church. So you are in this polyglot, if you will, even amongst Christians. And they use the Fred T. Chick publications. I can't imagine Times Square using them, you know. It just doesn't seem to fly. But I'm not speaking derisively. They're making the gospel known. But you are amidst a wide diversity of theological opinion, and I'm wondering, do you have to consciously navigate that? You must.
Yeah, and that's why Times Square, Brad, has been known as a pulpit that has stayed closely to the Word of God, and it has to be, because there's so much that's out there, and that there has to be a safe place that says it has to be in the Scripture. We lean on the Word of God. We want the presence of Jesus in our worship. One of the things that we'll do in our worship is we have watched the church go so many different directions, and what we've said was, we want to honor the past, but we also want to make sure that we realize that there's God's doing something in the future. That's why I think the church, Brad, is what was prophesied in Acts 2. It said that there'd be dreamers and visionaries, the young and the old, that would come together. That was the last days church. And what's dangerous is today you're seeing a church that is either old or a church that is all young.
Yes.
And that's why I think it's so important. And we're watching God bring young and old. And I've told our church that is the last days church. G.K. Chesterton said it like this. He said, if you see a fence there, he said, before you remove it, ask why it's been put up in the first place.
Yes.
And so you have the old, if it's just an old church, they never pick up the fence, and the young destroy the fence. And there's always foundations that have been here at Times Square Church that God has put there, that we won't move those fence posts. It has always been a pulpit center to preach the Word of God. We will always celebrate communion once a week. We'll always have belief for God to work in the nations. We'll always be a church of prayer. It's a church and a church of compassion and giving. And so those are important posts for us. And the issue is, I think when you look, like you said, that polyglot all around us, all those different places around us, it's so easy to jump on bandwagons that are happening. People have asked, like, for example, people have asked me, I don't even know why I'm going to say this. I'll probably get in trouble, but I'll say it. It's just silly. But I will wear a suit and tie every single Sunday. every time. Yeah. And I said, it's a little bit of rebellion. I said, I'm not going to wear skinny jeans, ripped up jeans, and a baseball cap. I said, I want the house of God to be a place that anybody can come, but I want to make sure that people understand when we step on that stage, we mean business. Yeah. This is the word of God.
Yes. I'm myself in favor of the decorum. I think there are certain standards. In fact, you know what I remember from the 60s when young people were told, we have to get down to your level. Well, they weren't given a level to rise up to. And now and I see that with evangelical pastors. They're becoming so much like the people that they're not giving the people reason to aspire after a deeper godliness, you know? I'm curious, Pastor Dailena, Pastor Tim. You mentioned Chesterton, and you won me at GK, all right? I think of that line from the movie, you won me at hello, right? You won me at GK.
That's right.
I love Chesterton. In fact, I have a very dear friend who was a professor of literature at my alma mater of Gordon College. We did a whole radio broadcast concerning G.K. Chesterton. We did another on Lewis. Who are some of the authors, two or three names that you might recommend to our audience they might care to read? It would benefit them in the Lord.
Well, I could tell you this. You mentioned him earlier, and I'll just capitalize on it. One of the people that was amazing that I had the privilege of spending time with him through David Wilkerson was Leonard Ravenhill.
Oh, yes, yes.
I would encourage anybody to read Why Revival Tarries. I would encourage anybody to pore over that. I would, you know, and when you look through a number of those authors and a number of those men, people like a Leonard Ravenhill, people like an Andrew Murray. That would call you really to a Christology that would be so Christ-centered, and even an E.M. Bounds that would be so focused on prayer. And then you won me over at C.S. Lewis when I was at Oxford. We lived across the street from Magdalen College where Lewis taught, and I would take my family to Eagle and Child where
I've been there. Yeah.
Where Lewis and you'll have Tolkien that would meet and the Inklings and everybody would be there. But one of the things that Lewis used to say was this. He said, your safest place when you're reading is to read those authors that are already dead. So I read a lot. Most of the authors I read have all passed away. And he says, those are your proven books. He said, all the other books, he said, the vote is still out to whether they'll be classic.
I praise God to hear it. I would also recommend an author by the name of Tim Dailena, What Does God Have to Say? A Biblical Worldview from A to Z. Pastor Tim, thank you for joining us.
Brad, it's been my joy. What a blessing to hear from you and to be part of the radio audience out there.
I praise God. We praise God for you. Brad Lacey and Pastor Tim Dailena, we wish you God's blessing and grace in every way. Bye-bye.